time now for America in the Balance. Brought to you by Oklahomans for Sovereignty and Free Enterprise. And now your co-hosts, Amanda Teagarden and Don Wyatt.
Welcome, freedom-loving Oklahomans, to another hour of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. As everybody familiar with our program must know by now, I am not Amanda Teagarden. Unfortunately, she's unavailable today, and so this is your co-host, Don Wyatt. I'll be leading the program today. We're broadcasting from the great state of Oklahoma in the vicinity of Tulsa. Broken Arrow, actually, is where we're located. There's some websites that we want to make sure we bring to your attention. The first three websites are websites from OK Safe, the organization that brings you this program. The first is simply ok-safe.com. That's ok-safe.com. There's also a website for OK Safe named exposinghealthcarereform.com. As you can well imagine, that is our website dedicated to disclosures of the upcoming changes in our healthcare system and the problems and issues that it brings and some of the ways in which we can try to mitigate those. And the third for OK Safe is stopsmartmetersinoklahoma.org. Make sure you remember the .org on that one. Several of our programs have already been dedicated to the issue about the smart grid and smart meters, and there's so many issues related to that, health and safety and privacy and a thousand other things. We encourage you to take a look at that website as well. Not only is this program brought to you by OK Safe, but I'm very active in another organization named the Tulsa 912 Project, and we have two websites to bring to your attention from the Tulsa 912 Project. The first is, simply enough, Tulsa912Project.com. That's Tulsa 912, the three numbers not spelled out, project.com. And then the final website to bring to your attention today is one that I've been responsible for creating and the managing editor for, called boondoggleblog.com. Boondoggleblog.com. That's a website that identifies and exposes wasteful spending of our tax dollars. The tagline for that is useless work paid for with public money. So those are websites we want to bring to your attention. We are delighted today, in Amanda's absence, we've got a very full studio because we have our guest of honor today and three from his staff, and I'm really delighted about that. I'm going to jump right into an introduction to you of Doug Friesen. I'm not going to tell you everything you'd want to know because it would take too long, but I do want to tell you a few things that you'd want to know about Doug, and we are really honored and delighted to have him with us. We had a program scheduled to record last Monday that we were unable to do at that time, that would be a program on the biblical and Christian foundations for self-defense, and we will get that program recorded soon, and you'll have that in our archives to serve as a companion to today's program. Today's program is all about Doug Friesen. He's an attorney, but not just any old attorney. He's a gun lawyer. The name of his website is yourgunlawyer.com. I encourage you to go out there and take a look. He is probably the most knowledgeable self-defense attorney in the state and maybe in the country. He's high profile, based out of the Oklahoma City area. I first met Doug about 3 months ago, 2 months ago, at a organization called OK2A, which I'll also recommend to you for consideration. That's the Oklahoma Second Amendment Organization, and their website is ok2a.org. But that's where I met Doug. He was a speaker at the policy conference. He just was outstanding, and we were fortunate enough to persuade him to come up as a speaker for our 9-12 meeting tonight, which is a special meeting for us because it is 9-12 as we are recording this. This is September the 12th. And that's part of the reason why our organization is named 912 in the first place. So Doug is an attorney, recognized expert in firearms, probably the most knowledgeable gun lawyer in the state of Oklahoma, and possibly the entire country. He's defended over 45 on-duty police officers that were involved in weapons incidents, and as a result of Doug's outstanding expertise, no charges have been filed in any of these against any of these defendants. He has both a Bachelor's of Science in Economics and a law degree from Washburn University. He's completed hours of study towards an MBA as well from the University of Oklahoma. He has an amazing collection of certifications. I won't read them all, but if you go to the website or if you look up some information about Doug, you'll be amazed. One of the things that I found just almost humorous, because I've never met anybody with one of these, he is certified to be an instructor for the ATF on submachine guns. And I didn't even know such a thing existed. So he's really a very special guy. He has taught the legal portions of CCW classes. So here's what I would share with you. The Second Amendment gives us the right to keep and bear arms. But if you ever use them, you're going to need Doug or someone like Doug to protect you and your family. So without further ado, Doug, welcome and thank you.
Well, thank you so much. I think that this just proves that you can look good if you put enough stuff down on paper.
Well, I won't talk about how I look or you look, but I'll say your credentials are certainly impressive.
Much better on paper than in person. I understand.
The presentation that Doug did in July and will also share with us tonight at our meeting was titled, How Free Are We? And that was a sobering call to arms, no pun intended, or at least a wake-up call for how free we are supposed to be versus the evolution that we have already seen in the area of gun rights restrictions and how they affect us. Why don't you share with our audience some of that from your perspective?
I mean, we think of ourselves as Americans as being free. However, every year we have further and further onslaughts against our rights in reference to guns. And it has been mainly up to the last few years, it has been a national attention. However, as we know, the last time the nation as it itself was under bombardment in terms of the Second Amendment, there were a lot of turnover, and so from a federal level now, the representatives and senators are extremely reluctant to get involved in this fight. So what the anti-gun lobby has done is has switched its fight from the national arena, trying to make headways into the state arenas. And I call them farm teams, and it's not a pun, really, but they are trying to make inroads into the individual states so that if they can make enough inroads into the individual states, then maybe they can carry that up to the national level. And right. We have seen a tremendous swing this last year in terms of state-mandated laws. One of the most interesting ones comes from Colorado.
I was just going to bring up Colorado.
It is just so fascinating because earlier this year, Colorado enacted, and we always think of Colorado as the Wild West. Everybody wants to go there hunting in that. They pass a law this year that says you can't have magazines for your semi-automatics of more than 15 rounds. Bunch of other restrictions right. That they have. And part of the way that they got that passed was that they were saying that the sheriff's officers across the state were actually promoting and supporting that. When they found out that they didn't have that support, they gave the sheriff's organization the wrong date to show up, so they didn't have any input in this. But because they had represented to the people that law enforcement was behind it, they pass it. It really made the sheriffs mad, and they got together, organized their own campaign to recall the two senators that were involved
That's
in this.
Right.
And 2 days ago,
These
two people were taken out of office as a result of law enforcement saying, hey, You lied about what we wanted to do. We want the people to represent, to be able to defend themselves.
These weren't freshman recruits that they had removed either, were they?
No, they weren't. They were firmly embedded. I mean, they were powerful enough that those two were the driving force and felt comfortable lying to the people of Colorado. And luckily enough, they got pushed out of office, but not before Magpul Industries.
That's right, a major business.
Major business removed themselves because they said, we're not going to be part of this. And the Outdoor Channel started refusing to film anything more in Colorado because the values of Colorado were no longer reflecting the values of the show.
Exactly. And they used to film a lot of episodes in Colorado.
Because there's a lot of great hunting.
That's exactly right. I've seen a lot of them. Did that have anything to do with that secession movement that is also underway for parts of North Colorado to secede from Colorado and become called North Colorado? Are you familiar with that?
I am not familiar with it.
It's for real, and it's actually a movement underway. I don't know how far it is or how far along it'll go. But
well, the logistics of it are that so much of the population of Colorado are centered right around Denver and, of course, Boulder. Sure. And Boulder has long been a liberal bastion, run entirely by liberal Democrats. Right. And you add in the fact that Denver has been swinging that way. Well, if you just take the pure population, you're going to be able to get what you want there. But if you take the wishes of the state as a whole, you can't get it made.
Well, it's interesting to watch the competition among other various states for Magpul and others to say, raise their hand and say, hey, we're still gun lovers here. Why don't you come here?
Absolutely. I mean, any of those that you see moving it out. And you had the same thing happen essentially down in California where they said you can't, that a private individual can't have a 50-caliber BMG.
That's right.
One of the people that I know that happens to be friends with Barrett manufacturers, Barrett at that time said that they had, Barrett had some of guns from law enforcement that they were supposed to be redoing and sending back to them. They refused to ship them into California because they said, hey, if you don't want these guns, they're fine. Come and get them if you want them, but we're not shipping them. And it's nice to see the gun industry backing up, I mean, because you'd normally think of an industry like that wanting to have any kind of business they could, but they are putting principles over the dollars, and that's really important as we go down this fight.
It's very important to know and recognize what's going on there. By the way, there was a bill just passed in the special session here in Oklahoma and signed by the governor that deals with gun rights. What can you share with our audience about what that was about? Does that ring bells with you?
No, I was from Oklahoma 2A that you previously mentioned has been the main driving force in terms of those, and I helped them with the draft of most of them, so I'm not sure which one just passed.
We'll get Tim Gillespie from OK2A or one of his spokesmen on the show soon, and we'll get an update on that because I think it took place during this strange special session where they have 3 days over in the House and 3 days, actually it's 2 days over in the House and then 2 days in the Senate, and then they have a conference and it goes to the governor. And if you can make sausage badly any way other than doing it in 2 days, I can't imagine what could be worse.
I don't know either. But, you know, if you look at the nation as a whole, what you see is the movement going toward using states as the impetus for the gun control. And just so everybody is out there is clear about my position, I believe in gun control. Gun control is holding the gun and hitting your flipping target. That is gun control, and I believe in being able to do that. Other than that, any additional, we have all the laws we need. We have too many laws right now. Yep. Any additional things are just things that the government is trying to do to criminalize us non-criminals that have guns. There's more things that we can step into. What I think the people of Oklahoma in particular, but all states, need to be very aware of is right now we have a very friendly pro-legislature that is helpful and I think embracing individual rights.
Right.
But it is only that way because we have, as a population, right. have been so vocal, and it is becoming so much more important. We have left this fight for so long to the NRA at the national level. Right. They're not having to fight this big fight anymore. It's on the state level that we're all going to have to get involved.
We are. A couple of comments that you just made are that one of the characteristics, at least in Oklahoma, is that that's not purely a partisan position.
Absolutely not.
Many of our rural Democratic representatives are just as rabidly in support of gun freedom as anyone else.
That's right. And so when we say Democrats, I think it's important to understand that the Democrats in Oklahoma on the gun issue are not like the National Democratic Party.
Critical point to make. There may be a few, but they're not very vocal anymore.
They're afraid to be vocal.
That's certainly the way it looks when you go to the gallery and watch their debates, isn't
it? That's exactly right.
Where do you think we need to be as individual citizens in our attitude towards firearms, in our determination to defend ourselves and loved ones and others with firearms? We just passed open carry. Became an effective law in November, and other than a couple of fairly obvious illustrative examples, you just don't see open firearms hardly anywhere in the state. That's not an indictment. It's just to say that since they limited it to those of us that can conceal carry
right.
in the first place, most of us that can conceal carry do.
That's exactly right, because it's tactically sound.
Correct.
And I think that what, as a public, we need to start doing is understanding that human predators are exactly like animal predators. I mean, the animal predators in the wild pick on the weak, they pick on the ones that aren't paying attention, they pick on the ones that can't take care of themselves.
That's right.
And we as a nation, it seems like, are becoming more and more sheepish. We're becoming a herd.
Yeah.
As opposed to the old days when everybody's understood that you aren't issued a cop at birth, you don't get to carry them around with you and have them intervene for you.
That's right.
Bad stuff is happening. It's happening more frequently with the economy. It's going to continue to happen. People are getting more desperate. And for me, at least, the decision that I have had to make is that I have to be responsible
right.
for my safety and the safety of those around me. And if not, then I'm simply placing myself in a position of being a sheep that anybody can come and take what I have.
That's right.
Including my life.
Yeah. And so the idea of rights becomes a moot point if you don't defend those rights.
That is absolutely true. You can have all the rights in the world, but if somebody's sticking a gun in your face and saying, I'm going to kill you, and you don't have any way to do about it, you have the right to remain alive. However, it's kind of like being on a motorcycle and being on your side of the road and having an 18-wheeler coming at
you. That's right.
You may be in the right, but you're going to be dead right.
Dead right, yeah. like yield signs.
Exactly.
Yeah, you might, if you yield, the other guy may not.
So, that's right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Well, I appreciate the overview, and we will get into more about the biblical foundations on the right and duty of self-defense, and I won't drag you into that right now because you have so much expertise from the legal perspective, and we want to kind of keep it focused there for today. But thank you for the that's a good moral statement. I think we do have an obligation to protect ourselves, our family, the loved ones, and even the strangers who are at risk when we are able to.
Absolutely.
In your classes, I bet as you instruct on all kinds of things. There must be a couple of funny stories that have popped up in some of those classes. Could you, as we head towards the bottom of the hour, maybe you could share just a couple of stories with our audience that you come across?
One of the things that just pops into my mind is I had a guy, I mean, there's so many people that don't understand about the use of guns. I had a guy that's in my concealed carry class that says, hey, if I'm in my house and I hear somebody breaking into my car that's parked alongside the curb, do I have a right to take my gun and go out on the porch and check out what's going on? Well, my phrase for that is because, yes, it's legal, but it's stupid. Why would you do that? You don't have a right to shoot them because it's just a property crime. Right. Hang in your house and call 911, right. But why put yourself in a position that you can get shot over a lousy property crime?
Make yourself a target. Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yeah, yeah. And there's all sorts of misuses and misideas about what the gun is for. The gun is to protect yourself. It is not to make you a, you know, yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay type of person, that a Rambo that goes out and tries to clear up every dastardly deed. If each one of us would just take care of our own circle that's around us, affect those people that are around us, our world would become much safer very quickly.
Very true. Very true. Speaking of safer, John Lott did a really excellent book titled More Guns, Less Crime.
Absolutely.
And
I've read it.
And he did. I have, too. And he did a great job there. Our listeners, if you haven't found that book, find it. It's an excellent assessment. He's a professor of economics, and so he looks at the gun issue from an economic point of view as much as any other. And it's really a well-done book, and it puts the lie to an awful lot of myths that are prevalent, even ubiquitous in our country today.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good reference for people to take a look at. We're coming up close to the bottom of the hour. Let me ask quickly we got just a few more, about four more minutes before we take a break. Can you give us kind of a quick summary, and I'm not asking you to make us all lawyers, but if you are involved in a gun incident, there are some words or actions that you really must not take if you're going to protect yourself, if you're going to be protected from the incident, because otherwise words that might seem innocuous or harmless or normal to us in the everyday vernacular have legal meanings that can wind up getting you convicted. Can you share just some of the insight about that with our audience?
And I'll probably get into a lot more of this after the break, but because I have represented so many police officers and haven't had the opportunity to get to them right after the shooting and seen the state of shock that they're in,
right.
Every time you discharge your firearm, cops are going to come.
Right.
You're going to be in shock. My advice to all of them is I have developed a special card that its sole purpose is so you don't have to say a word.
Right.
When they come in and ask you whatever they're going to ask you, you just hand them the card. It's got your information on it, and it has in big, bold letters, I now want to talk to my attorney. You lawyer up without even opening your mouth.
Right. And the reason for that is, no matter how innocent or justifiable you might be or feel you are, if you say the wrong things or do the wrong things or remember things wrongly, you can wind up incriminating yourself very, very quickly, can't you?
Absolutely. I mean, it is just the things that come out of people's mouths, especially because of the emotions. I mean, if you are just having the normal regret over having killed somebody, and you make a statement like, wow, I wish I wouldn't have killed that person.
Right.
That sounds really bad 2 years later in front of a jury.
You bet. It does. And the police will probably have had that accurately recorded on their notebooks, wouldn't they?
Very accurately recorded. They may even have not only written. Yeah, yeah, it'll be on tape.
Yeah, yeah. You've become part of the defense team on the appellate case for Lieutenant Colonel
Jerome Ursland.
If you watch news around Oklahoma, or actually anywhere in the country, people probably heard of a pharmacist that was being robbed and took action. And this is the defendant has been described by a few experts as saying if he had just kept his mouth shut and talked to a lawyer instead of the media, he would be a free man today. Is that? I know you can't talk a lot about the case, but you are involved on the appellate side of it.
Absolutely. I did not try that case.
That's exactly.
I want that clear.
And he wasn't one of your clients.
That's right. He was not signed up under my plan.
There you go.
I use him as an example that if you do enough, if you talk enough, no matter how innocent or righteous the shooting, you can talk yourself into the penitentiary.
Jail. Yeah, exactly. And you've got a couple of good videos from the news broadcast that are available on your website that I've enjoyed watching. And
absolutely,
our listeners ought to browse around that yourgunlawyer.com website. There's some really good information there. Well, we're coming near the bottom of the hour. That's the music indicating the end of the first half hour of America in the Balance with our special guest today, Doug Friesen. We're going to be right back after a short musical interlude. Welcome back to the second half of America in the Balance on Truth in Focus Internet Radio. This is your interim host, Don Wyatt, filling in for both Amanda Teagarden and myself today. And our very special guest in the studio today is Doug Friesen. By the way, let me say one word about Krista Branch. That's the music you just listened to. This is a young lady that... she and her husband are from the South Tulsa area. Just a fabulous voice, very musical, just splendid musicians. And they moved to Nashville, and she's been involved in several events that are starting to elevate her Oh, her career. If you want to see that music, right on YouTube, if you do a search on I Am America, you can find a YouTube video that she did of that particular song, and it's splendid. And I'm feeling kind of patriotic today. We recognized our 12th anniversary of 9/11 yesterday, and it brought back an awful lot of memories for me about how many American flags you could see on everybody's doorstep 12 years ago, and we're trying to maintain or recapture that spirit as we can in our Tulsa 912 project group. Anyway, back to Doug Friesen. We were just talking about, Doug, the state of shock people might not expect, might not even realize to expect, or they just wouldn't expect that of themselves if they were ever involved in one of those incidents. But you've worked with so many cases, you know this to be just a fact of the human brain.
I was fortunate enough to get involved with some of the firearms instructors for CLEAT, which is the licensing organization in the state of Oklahoma. And because of that, they started referring police officers to me, and they would have, you know, if there was a shooting, they'd have me recalled. And it was a real reality check for me. Some of these people I had been shooting with for 10 or 15 years, but when I would see them, sometimes I've been there as little as 20 minutes after a shooting, sometimes 4 or 5 hours. But the fact is that these people that are involved in a violent, traumatic incident like this, everybody goes into shock. Their mind shuts down. And the real reality...
Or goes on overtime. I'm not sure which the mind is really doing.
Probably both during the process
right.
of it. And so what happens, and it just... It was such a shock to me that I was hearing things coming out of these police officers' mouth. I knew they weren't attempting to lie to me, but it had no bearing whatsoever on the actual facts of the case. So it could easily be construed as lying.
Right. And there are cases that you have on your website coming right out of the Ursuline case where the videotape contradicts by obvious reality what he thought had happened that
absolutely
that event. Yeah.
Absolutely. But that doesn't change the fact that it's their reality.
Right.
Then I started recognizing the fact that the reason that police officers don't talk is because their agencies realize that they have bought the liability for whatever the police officer has done. They realize that the officer goes into shock, so they have mandatory policies. You're involved in a shooting incident, you go on leave for 72 hours. It's
right.
just automatic.
Right.
We'll talk to you at the end of that time.
Right.
But we want you to gather your wits together.
Right.
There up to now has been no comparable program for civilians.
Well,
none.
So, yeah.
And so the whole basis of the Second Amendment Protection Plan is to give that same level of protection to the citizens of the state of Oklahoma. When you think about most people, they don't have a family attorney. They don't have an attorney at all that they can turn to, let alone one that is familiar with what they're going through, what's happening. And so they have this shooting, and because they didn't intend to do anything wrong, they think it's okay to talk to the police officer.
Right.
Not understanding that they are still in shock.
Correct. And I think that if you ask the average CCW carrier, are you likely to experience shock? And if so, how long would you expect it to last? The answer you would get would be very different from what you found to be reality, isn't it?
Absolutely. They think, I mean, you hear it all the time. You know, somebody will be talking about somebody else's incident and say, well, I just would have done this. It would have been fine because I just would have done this. All that proves is that they've never been involved in a critical incident, because nobody, unless you're a psychopath, can take a human life and not be affected by it. I mean, it is such a mind bender that half of the police officers that are involved in these kind of traumatic events quit or retire within a year after the shooting.
I didn't know that.
It is
wow.
a tremendous mind bender. And it lasts for 2, 3, 4 days, depending upon how quickly they can get and start talking to somebody, among a number of other factors.
Right. And so one of the key lessons you've learned is that they need the right ears to talk to, don't they?
Absolutely. They need to have somebody that understands what has happened to them during this traumatic event to help them, guide them through, to let them know that what they did was okay, and listen to them and start on that healing process. But that person cannot be a police officer.
That's right.
Because their goal, it's not that their aim is to hurt the person. Their goal is to find out what happened.
Right.
And so they
and to apply blame or to affix blame. If there is,
yeah. Or it could be interpreted that way.
Right.
I mean, many times you've heard David Prater, who prosecuted Jerome, say, I didn't know whether it was right or wrong. I brought the charges. It's up for an Oklahoma County jury to decide whether it's right or wrong.
And by the way, those of you who haven't followed the news, pharmacist and Lieutenant Colonel Ursland is in prison.
He's in prison, has been in prison.
He was convicted.
And because who he shot was affiliated with a gang, there is a current SOS, which is a stab on sight order, and he is living in confinement. He's in one of the punishment cells because he's not safe to be out on the yard. So 23 hours a day, he is on lockdown by himself, no electricity, no nothing in his room like some of the other cells have, only because he's going to get killed if he goes out there.
Wow. That's sobering. Talk about cruel and unusual punishment, huh?
Well, and they're obviously not doing it to punish him, and he could insist on being out on the yard, but
not for long.
Not for long. Not and live.
Exactly.
That's exactly right.
That's really sobering, that a situation that appeared to most of us in the public as a legitimate action on his part.
I absolutely agree that it was.
Winds up putting the wrong guy behind bars.
Absolutely.
And so that the moral to that story is pay attention, learn, and live.
Yeah. Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Talk to an attorney.
Right.
That's
right.
Absolutely important.
Well, I really do appreciate that insight. Let's talk more about the protection plan, and we're fortunate to have Colette from your office here, and I know that you'll share, but she also will, in all modesty, you're reluctant to hammer some of these salesman type arguments on your own, aren't you?
Well, it's not that, it's just that Colette, you're familiar with like Jeff Dunham, who does the puppets? In my office, Colette is Jeff Dunham, and I don't know, depending upon the day, I am one of the puppets that she is simply flapping my mouth.
I think that's the kindest thing you've ever said. I am the master puppeteer. I love it. Thank you so much. I don't know exactly how I'm going to be able to come down from that compliment.
Colette Carlisle.
Yeah,
it's up to you, Colette.
Oh, thanks, Don. Really, we were wanting to have a conversation about this protection plan because, as you can tell from this conversation, Doug is extraordinarily passionate about the Second Amendment, and he's also equally passionate about his clients. And over the last couple of years, the conversations generally take a turn around those clients. And it's kind of impassioned because he wants his clients to be happy. He wants them to be safe. And he wants them to be trusting of his advice, obviously.
Right.
And sometimes that's kind of hard to convey, especially when you have something like the Second Amendment. And if you have a group of people that are comfortable with guns, a lot of times they're thinking, I got a gun, I got my permit, and I'm good to go.
Right.
That is far from true.
Speaking as a guy who's taken CCW training classes in both Arizona and in Oklahoma, and I've been a CCW permit holder for many years, these pieces of advice were never given to me. I'm sure that if I'd taken the class from you, Doug, I would have learned this advice, but I was not taught this advice. They were inclined to give you a guidance on not name, rank, and serial number, but something at least kind of open that you should always be prepared to talk and explain to the officers.
Right, and I think that has developed, and I have read probably 100 different books on this subject written by different professionals. The problem is those books that are written by the experts are generally cops or ex-cops that are involved mainly in training with cops.
Yeah.
So they are comfortable about what to say, they are comfortable about what to do, and know in an ideal world what should be said at the scene.
There's already other guidance in place for that, isn't
That's
there?
That's right. Yeah. There's already, because everybody around them is saying, shut up. However, when a civilian is involved, they're looking for a friendly face, and there's nobody friendly around, and the only halfway friendly person is the police officer because he wants to get you to talk.
Right.
The problem is you don't know what happened. You just don't. You can't access the information. You're in shock, and some of the things that you're remembering are just flat wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah, just wrong.
Well, you know, what's also interesting is the plan aspect of it. You guys go through a lot of training. Everybody goes through a lot of training with these guns and what they're supposed to do, what they're not supposed to do. Then you get your permit. And it's really not taught to the student what the real plan is. In other words, what happens if
right.
you're in an unfortunate event?
Mm-hmm.
What's your next step?
Right.
And it's important right. not to make that next step being, oh my gosh, I got to get to the yellow pages.
Right.
Are you kidding? This should have really been thought out way before that. And so the protection plan, one of the aspects of it, is designed to get to know Doug.
Right.
Get to know your gun lawyer.
Have a gun lawyer ahead of time.
Have yeah. a plan ahead of time. And that way, if something happens and you don't know what else to do, you remember you have the card.
Right.
You remember that you have the protection plan. And it's designed to help those clients out there not have to worry about that aspect of
right.
it. They need to worry about themselves.
If you don't have this plan with Doug and you have firearms or access to firearms, you'd better set up this plan for yourself some way, because
absolutely,
they taught us what to do if you're pulled over in a traffic stop, for example.
Right.
You're supposed to put your hands outside the window and disclose immediately that you've got a concealed carry permit and you have a firearm in the car and here's where it is. They taught us that. Never heard a word in class about what to do if you have to use that firearm.
And I will tell you, as a reality point, most instructors don't know what to do. They have never thought it through. They have never thought through what happens into the aftermath. And like I say, I have just been so blessed and privileged in my life to have been exposed to this seamy underside, if you will, simply because I have been able to help a lot of people go through probably one of the most trying incidents of their
right.
life and come out with it whole.
Right.
And if you can get through this incident without charges being filed, I mean, a good defense is going to cost you up to $250,000.
That's right.
Where it doesn't have, and
if you can stop it long ahead of that, then you've prevented it.
Absolutely.
Right, right.
And so this is a plan, and everybody's reluctant to call an attorney. I mean, even when you go to your doctor once a year, he can say, okay, you're too fat and you need to exercise more and lose a little weight, but other than that, you're fine. Pats you on the butt and sends you gone. Nobody goes to an attorney because of good news. I am waiting for somebody to come into my office and say, I just won the lottery, help me hide it. I want that to happen, but it never does. They only come in there where there's bad news.
Yeah, there's and trouble. Yeah.
It's like going to a car lot and them knowing you absolutely have to buy a car that day.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is not going to turn out well for you.
Well said. Help us share with our audience the ingredients of the protection plan that you've over time evolved to, and the things that it includes. This is spelled out on the website too, by the way, but the very first item on that is you have access to Doug 24/7. That's a big deal.
That is a big deal. It gives you comfort. It gives you peace of mind. And it also gives you the advantage of allowing him to help you not have charges filed to
exactly.
begin with.
That's the goal,
and
is to prevent charges.
That's the goal, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because really, at the end of the day, nobody wants to be sitting on the other side of charges being filed, all because they didn't spend $9.95 a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, for the rest of their lives, they're willing to shoot their gun and go have some fun. But you really do need to have a plan.
That's not $995.
Correct. Sorry about that. let me say that again.
Yeah.
$9.95. That is a good point.
One of the things that you need to realize is that this is a very affordable plan. I think of it as insurance. Just as I would buy insurance for a lot of other reasons, this is logical insurance. It's a protection plan, to be sure. It's a little bit like a prepaid legal plan in some respects, but it's focused on this particular issue.
That's right. And it's like having dug in your pocket just in case.
There you go.
And one of the other things that it does for you is we want our clients to know that it's important to be able to communicate to Doug on any number of things. And this helps him understand your perspective, as well as the reverse.
Right.
So as a part of the protection plan, you have one full hour of Doug's time during that year to talk to him about
anything.
Range of topics. Yeah. And this is an important aspect. I mean, things happen in life. And as Doug alluded to earlier, people don't come into the office when they've just won the lottery, okay? Mm-hmm. The reality is they're probably at their worst. Well, you need to take 1 hour out of your life next year or this year and talk to Doug. Get to know him. He gets to know you. And that way, when that time comes to talk to him about a will, about your children stupid things, okay?
By the way, there's another website simply called DougFriesen.com that will help you realize that Doug knows more than just guns. It's kind of like the old Bo Knows Guns or Bo Knows Football or Bo Knows Basketball commercial. Doug is involved in all kinds of general legal practice and can help you with a lot of issues.
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, that's a great segue into one of the products that we're getting ready to roll out. So I really do welcome everyone to visit our website regularly. We're constantly upgrading. We're constantly adding new products and things that will help our clients more than just your day-to-day piecemeal kind of lawyer in, lawyer out information. So we welcome you to come to our websites regularly and look forward to working with us in the future on some of some really exciting products that we have available. Just as a final note on the protection plan, you also have the ability to communicate with Doug all the time. We have many social networking outlets for you. Of course, there's Your Gun Lawyer on Facebook. There's also a Twitter account under the same name, as well as emails. Going to our website, we constantly send out newsletters and publications and blogs. And so if you have a generalized question, please, please, please share it with everyone.
Right. There you go.
So that everyone gets to enjoy in the exact same question that you've probably had for several years yourself.
Good point. Yeah, it should be noted that if you are a listener and know nothing about OK2A or nothing about Tulsa 912 Project and want to sign up for one of these plans directly through the website yourgunlawyer.com, that's fine. It's there. You can do that. But you should also know that OK2A has already set up an interface program for their membership, and the Tulsa 912 Project is in the process of setting up one of those as well for its members. So.
And one of the things I want to supplement with what she said is I don't think there's a year that goes by in anybody's life that they don't have a legal question.
That's
and
right.
What they will do is they will poll their friends who aren't lawyers. They'll get a consensus and they'll act that way.
Or they'll look it on the internet.
Or they'll look it up.
We could develop a plan under the model of fantasy football legal questions.
There you go.
And so the reason that hour of free consultation is so important is if you will simply use me, sign up for this, then use me for whatever legal question you have, you're going to more than get your money's worth for the hour that you use. So the protection plan is really free.
Right.
And you get your question answered. It's already paid for. There's no reason not to take advantage of that. Yeah.
Now, we've alluded to this, but let's be a little bit more specific about this particular plan. If you buy it directly from Doug's office, it costs about $120 a year for an individual and a little bit less per person if there's a couple. So it's a little bit less than twice that for a couple for a year, and you can buy it for 5 years, and you can they have other kinds of plans too.
But of course.
That the idea is you're looking at $100 a year, like you said earlier, $9.95, and not in hundreds, $9.95 a month as a cost for this kind of peace of mind and certainty that if you are involved in an incident, you'll have expert advisors right at your elbow. So,
not only that, we've also changed it so now that it can simply be taken out of your bank account. You sign an authorization, it can be taken out of your bank account, and there's no $100, $120 upfront fee. It's simply $9.95 a month, and you're done.
So the administration of it is negligible. And the visibility of it is negligible, but the value of it is extreme.
Absolutely. Yeah. And one of the other things that she focused on is we try to every week send out something of current interest. While the Zimmerman trial was going on, we commented quite a bit on that. But we like to have either inspirational or educational material that we send out about every week so that people can stay current on the issues. Certainly we try and do that in reference to politics, and one of the changes that we're making on our website is we're going to be having a map of the state of Oklahoma with all the legislators' names and addresses mm-hmm. on it, so people will know who to call, because that's one of the things that we're really big on is get involved so you can make a difference.
Well said. Well said. While I'm thinking about it, are there any you get blogs that you post regularly on your website, and they're excellent reading. I want to recommend those to people. Are there a couple of your recent blogs that come to mind as something that you think might be particularly interesting to our listeners?
And there's so many subjects all of a sudden. I just got a rush.
Exactly.
Some of the comments that we've made about the Zimmerman case stand out to me only because that is a case where the publicity, both before and after, wanted to absolutely castigate poor Zimmerman. The reality was, and on one of the television interviews I did, they asked me what the summary of that case was, and I said, don't bring a sidewalk to a gunfight. And that is my summary of that case. But if you've got somebody that's got your hair and is knocking your head into the sidewalk, you're either going to die or you need to shoot them if you've got a gun.
That's right.
And, you know, a gun is kind of like a parachute. You hope you're never going to have to use it. But by gum, if you need it, there's nothing that's going to take a parachute's place.
That's right.
There's nothing that's going to take a gun's place.
Well said. That's exactly right. I heard that comment about bringing a sidewalk to a gunfight at the policy conference, and we got people that are eager to hear you repeat that tonight, by the way. They said, oh, is he going to give the sidewalk line about this? So, they'll be disappointed if they don't hear you say
it. Okay, well, I'll remember to say it.
That's funny.
Fantastic.
By the way, you told us yourself, I think, rather than in the bio at the policy conference, that you come from a Mennonite minister's background. So
my dad has been a Mennonite minister since before I was born.
You and I are both preacher's kids from different denominations, so that's kind of an interesting background.
Yes, it is.
Well, I can't think of other things that I would recommend to our listeners that would be more valuable or more important if you have access to firearms, if you got a CCW permit, if you even care about protecting yourself and your loved ones, than addressing this. I think this ought to be as high a priority as writing a will or a daily Bible study or whatever your world includes as priorities. I think this needs to be an equal priority, it seems to me.
I absolutely agree, and it is so important to remember to drive home the fact that we need to take responsibility for our own safety, right. And part of that is lining up the protection for after the event.
A very, very good point. So we do have rights, but those rights come with responsibilities, and
exactly.
The responsibility is not just to act responsible, but to prepare in advance responsibly if you ever do have to act.
Other than that, why would you have house insurance?
There you go. Exactly. This has been America in the Balance on Truth and Focus Radio. Thank you for joining us. Your host, Don Wyatt, our special guest in studio today, Doug Friesen, and from his office, Colette Carlisle. We appreciate you listening to the program. Please check out our podcast of other related programs, soon to have a program on the biblical basis for self-defense. May God bless you.